You are listening to Jaya Ashmore. You can find hundreds of meditations and talks on my websites, jayaashmore.org, jayaashmore.org, as well as opendharma.org, opendharma.org. All the recordings are offered in the tradition of generosity or dana, and your gifts are welcome. Thank you for listening. Would anyone like to ask or share anything? Is that your question coming, or no?
Question. Today morning, after the guided meditation, after the very interesting talk between you and Dhan, so you kind of use the word, it's kind of a long process. I'm just doubting whether you use this word or not. So I was wondering, after that, saying that, is it really a long process, or is it the mind that tricking us, saying it is a long process, or it's already here? It's kind of a within a within question, or which is already here.
But I didn't hear the last.
I mean,
it's kind of a.
It's kind of like within saying like it is a long process, but it's. Is it a long process, or is it already here, or
right.
Is it tricking us, saying like the pure nature or the pure, whatever you want to say it, it's
mm-hmm.
here, but all right, let's try it harder to make it harder, saying like it is a long process.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know.
Yeah, good. That's like the question in a way. I think in a way, basically that thinking, the thinker, talker, the words just have no way to understand it. But we can still try to talk about things. But if we just accept from the beginning, like, the thinker can't think it. And then we can say yes, then, like, having said that, we can say yes and yes. Yes, it's a long process. Yes. And also, yes, it can be a trick. So, if we try to think what the trick is, which, do you have any sense of what's the trick?
It's been confusing for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe one of the tricky things is about postponement. Like, in your question, there's the question, is it, by saying it's a long process, a way to delay just finding it already here? So it's really easy, and many times we do practice trying to be now as a way of postponing being now. So, if we can get to the bottom of what wants to postpone. Does everybody know this word, postpone? Why, if we really feel like we want it and we want it yesterday, why does the tendency to keep postponing keep coming in? So I think yesterday maybe we talked about one of the ways postponement comes in, or faking it, pretending comes in, avoiding whatever is already here. And that might be that there's some kind of, let's say, true experience. We feel some contact, like Dhamma was talking about, that here-ness, that he's not quite, but that he tastes. So sometimes we might have a taste of here-ness, and we're with the taste of here-ness, and then we're like, yeah, this is it. And then we don't mean to, but we make up a nice little seat of here-ness. Whatever way your mind works, it might be more of an image or more of a word or more of a sensation or whatever. And then we keep trying to put something that symbolizes myself into that seat that symbolizes freedom. And then eventually that's so boring that we're like, what? We realize we've lost touch. That feeling of not quite here-ness gets our attention again somehow. And I think it's a lot about vulnerability and not wanting to be a big, fat, huge vulnerability walking around. There's so many ways in. So if we come back to the question of what is freedom, does anyone have anything to report?
I think freedom is being able to accept and even enjoy whatever comes, no matter what it is, just allowing it and not pushing it away, and just being able to just be with it and be okay with whatever it is. That's freedom for me.
Okay.
But it's not so easy to get there, but yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully we can talk about that too, but like how to get there, so to speak.
Yeah.
Or how to even ask that question. Anyone else? So, kind of acceptance, allowing, maybe even enjoying whatever comes. Anything else? Is that a whole picture for you, or is there some completely other vantage point?
You're asking for ways of experiencing or for understandings of freedom?
We could include both of those in the question, what is freedom? Was that on the way somewhere, or you were just checking?
Just checking.
Okay,
There's
yeah.
many.
And what?
So there are many things I
Okay.
can put on.
Back to you.
I think just not, being run by conditioning and programming. You know, it's kind of running the show.
Yeah.
I wanted to add to.
Wait,
Oh,
sorry, sorry.
yeah.
If it's, can you keep on with it for a second? Like, will you lose it, or shall I?
Yeah, I can keep.
Okay. I just wanted to hear a little bit, like, your heart experience feeling when programming is less or off. What's
Yeah,
left? Yeah.
when I'm not reacting to programming, I feel free.
Okay, and what is, can you describe a little bit like your heart experience of free,
Oh,
feeling
being
free?
free,
Yeah.
joyful, my senses seem to be flowing. Everything just seems to be flowing, and just not clutched by the mind. far as the feeling, well, right now I'm a little bit run by programming of speaking out,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
in a group, and so I can feel, you know, not totally free.
Mm.
But at the same time, there's a freedom in, you know, walking through that.
Yeah, good. Nice. Great. So that's really cool because it clarifies a bit about freedom, I think. If it's, I think joyful, yeah, is one aspect that can happen and be kind of a guide post for a while, definitely. But then if I make a rule, like I want freedom, and when I feel free, I feel joyful. And if I feel nervous because I'm speaking out loud in a group and I don't feel safe doing that, then I must, this, that's bad. So I better just stay safe with that nice, joyful, not speaking out thing. And yet, clearly, the freedom to speak out, even though I feel this reactivity going on, right? So freedom from reactivity includes, even though the reactivity is on, something moves anyway, right? And it's not joyful. Necessarily. There's energy.
Well, there's, it's the, but there's something that's true.
Yes, good.
And that kind of percolates a little bit like
good.
Joy.
Yes, great. Yeah.
I mean, not that, but I agree.
Yes.
If I limit it to being joyful, I'm just...
Oh, I wasn't saying you were limiting to be joyful at all. I was just agreeing with everything you said, but really wanting to kind of congratulate you on being well-rounded in your description.
Thank you for clarifying.
And then to dare to recognize that Becca was pointing right here, which it doesn't mean that you would point right here when you would talk about it, but saying that, that something that's percolating here that is something like joy. Can you feel a little bit the difference between regular joy and that? Or the quality of this that you're saying feels a bit like joy?
Well, this just feels like an expression more.
Mm-hmm.
An expression rather than just a wideness or expansion. This feels like an energetic response.
Yes, good. Can you feel what a response... Usually we think of a response to something, but what kind of response or expression?
An image, it's I don't know what it's responding.
Great. Yes, I agree. Isn't that cool? It feels, response is a great word for it, but it's not like a reaction, which we know what we're reacting to, or we are reacting to something we might not acknowledge what we're reacting to. No, I'm fine, I'm not angry, or I'm not, whatever. Whereas this sort of, there can be expression, there can be something that comes up that's a response that we could say maybe as if comes out of nowhere or comes out of everything, comes out of the wholeness, or it just comes.
Yes, it's a little bit like a response to myself.
It's gorgeous.
That kind of thing, a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Intimacy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Cool. And so... This can help us kind of widen the conversation, the field. Because as we're trying to find out for ourselves what is going on and what is programming and what is freedom, what's natural and what's forced, sometimes there's the good luck that we find some kind of ease and flow And there's a sort of feeling of resonance all around, like, yes, everything says yes, sometimes. And luckily also, there's another kind of good luck. When nothing is, or there's less of a yes response from everyone and everywhere. There's just some kind of a yes from inside. So we don't become dependent on getting confirmation all the time that I'm on the right path, that I'm still in my flow, right? And so we have the good luck of that, those demanding situations where there seems to be no coming at us, N-O, or we're afraid to speak out or whatever. And we're not sure, but we half raise our hand and maybe she won't see me. And we get to feel the goodness of saying yes anyway. That intimacy with ourselves. And that saying yes anyway, whether there's reassurance from outside or not, allows a very important part of the long process. So we're still with the Shobhiti's question. Which is just it, like from the long run picture, it's gorgeous. And in the play by play is so hard. If we're in it, it can be so hard. But you might have felt sometimes in the silence. You didn't feel like you were in the silence, but you were. And that allowed a memory to come up. And maybe the thinking part is like, what am I supposed to do with this memory? I'm supposed to be not thinking. I'm supposed to be in the now and not in the past, etc. But part of the long process is this gorgeous process of what has gotten kind of like lodged in our system. Waiting for there to be the kindness and wideness and strength for just it to be felt and released. It's as if from inside mostly, okay, so like a splinter is, do you know what a splinter is? No? Like a piece of wood or something gets into your skin and it can get infected, etc. So we try to pull it out from the outside and sometimes we can, and sometimes it breaks off and can get infected and so on. Sometimes something from inside pushes it out. And it can be painful, it can be gross, it can be a little, even a bit dangerous moment. We need to cure that wound. And so we can't be sure when we're in the middle of it, but so many times a memory comes up and maybe it comes up again and again and starts to even fill out a bit. We start to remember more and more about that room or whatever. And we feel hot or cold in the body, or we feel like throwing up or something. Or we just feel intensity. And we can interpret and say, oh, I'm not in the flow. We're so in the flow that this splinter can be flown out. And it's a real situation, not an ideal one. So it's not just the simplistic thing of the splinter getting out. It's not just bearing that time that the memory is kind of accessible on its way out. It's a process of the memory coming back together. It got kind of shattered and frozen. It comes back together, maybe, for some people. I don't mean necessarily a memory of a particular, it's just different pieces come back together that had been kind of frozen in time. And the body-mind system we could say knows how to heal from that. But the splinter is out, and then there's still that place the splinter used to be. And our experience of it is there's a memory, and then there's this kind of soreness. And we think we've gone really wrong because we were thinking, and now I feel all weird and yucky. And it's such a good process in the long run. There's really so little doing involved. It's doing it itself. And now we have all this great research on trauma healing and all the people that have the ways of how to do that. And on retreat, it happens. It's so natural. And it can be really so efficient, not quite as instantaneous as we were thinking it would be. And so it's kind of like from a feeling of wholeness that allows that splinter to kind of come out, and then that place the splinter used to be, to clear, to cleanse, to heal. And that whole process is wholeness kind of bringing about more wholeness. Because why not? Not something missing and now I've got it. Now I've patched that hole. It's from the wholeness, allowing that feeling broken or feeling shattered or whatever, feeling intensity, and then more wholeness. And I think that it happens just like the way, Becca, you described, that some kind of response that feels something like joy, but doesn't, I can't tell if it's a response to a particular thing. And so that's, I think, a similar happening to when life happens to come up with eyes. It's a kind of response, but it's not necessarily a reaction to something. It's just like, a self-organizing, emerging, why not, out of wholeness, wholeness.
That was sort of the direction I wanted to go in. Basically, I was going to say, like, in addition to, like, having this, like, sense of self that you have to learn to be skillful with so that you can allow things to happen and you can start to recognize what programming is and what, the limitingness of this sense of self. There's also the surrendering to, that was the mm-hmm. thing that I was going to say, mm-hmm. where is this exactly what you did? You had this like movement that was like this thing that wanted to be surrendered to. Then there was a sense of self kind of trying to stop it. And then when you let it through, it's like, it's all like being skillful. It's being skillful with the thing, with this everything that you're surrendering to, skillful with the sense of self that you are. And when you surrender to something, practically, you, like, the whole group just supported you, and you felt this sense of joy inside. And even if you hadn't received that, you still would have learned something, and you still, I mean, this is my sense, you mm-hmm. still would have had some kind of like experience of surrender to this goodness that you're talking about, and that can't help but be a good thing that can be better for the next time you have a movement, or I'm not going to say you have a movement happens, mm-hmm. and you can be there for it. So that was mm-hmm. what I was thinking about.
And maybe we could say, I feel hesitation about the word surrender, but we can go with that. I can surrender to that. Surrender to the goodness and the imperfection, seeming imperfection, mm-hmm. that I was hoping freedom was going to be not feeling embarrassed to speak in the group or not feeling energy when I am speaking to the group. It didn't seem like you had a huge resistance to speaking, but then speaking, there can be kind of like some energy. And that can really help also when sometimes it's just energy happening that's bigger than what we're used to. Like right about today on a retreat, sometimes there's just a bigger energy available, and our system can interpret that as feeling uncomfortable or nervous or angry or whatever also. So surrendering to the seeming imperfection can leave room for what I thought to be imperfection not even to be a problem. And even if it is, some kind of breaks are on the surrender. So I brought a part of a poem from Wendell Berry, who's an American U.S. poet. And he talks about a place where we can be safely without thought. See the day begin and lean back. A simple wakefulness filling perfectly the spaces among the leaves. A place where we can be safely without thought. See the day begin or end. And lean back. A simple wakefulness filling perfectly the spaces between the leaves. The spaces among the leaves, sorry. So part of the long process is about safety. And finding that we live in a world where there's relative safety here and there, but never quite all the way. Never quite all the way. That unsafety is also built in. And the need for being in conditions of relative safety. So where there is more respect and care, and also hopefully where there's an acknowledgement that there isn't ever total safety. And so what's maybe even more important than safety is being kind with ourselves and each other. So a kind of nest that's relatively safe and very kind. That helps our system, if we can say, be safely without thought. And he even says, see the day begin and lean back. I sometimes wonder if I should ask Wendell Berry if before he dies I could talk to him. And one of the things I would want to ask is if he realized how much he's talking about meditation all the time. Deep rest meditation. Lean back, a simple wakefulness filling perfectly the spaces among the leaves. So this phrase, safely with, where we can be safely without thought. So where we start to recognize how often our thought is part of our alarm system. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't mean every thought is. But where we can be safely without thought. And when that happens, we might notice that then we see the day begin. That's when we see, we notice, oh, look, the day begins. Like Becca mentioned, her senses flowing. It's not all self-referential in the small sense. It's like, oh, the day begins. And it's also not self-excluding. Can you feel how in the poem, because we're part of the day begins, we're right in the day begins. So of course then we lean back right into the day begins, and now the day ends. We lean back into the day ending, because that's also us, the day ending. So we've said this before, but you wanted to say something before.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Awesome, yes. Go for it. Take your time.
Shaky and
Exactly. Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to say. So, much better said. This can also lead back into Ashokji's question. How one response is yes and yes. That it's a long process of immediacy. And continually discovering in that immediacy, that belongingness or wholeness, and that it isn't solid. And so maybe I'll just read these two poems of Ikkyu before we go on. It's a pair. One is Emptiness and Form. When, just as they are, white dewdrops gather. Dewdrops. Interior, we had about 13 different languages of the word dew. Dew. So the water that gathers out of the air, so onto, let's say, a leaf in the evening or morning. So what is that in? And I think it's Tau in German, isn't it?
Tau.
Which is cool. So, yeah. Okay, covered. So, Emptiness in Form, that's the title of the poem. When, just as they are, white dewdrops gather, on scarlet maple leaves, scarlet is red, regard the scarlet beads. That's the poem. When just as they are, white dewdrops gather on scarlet maple leaves, regard the scarlet beads. Form in emptiness. The tree is stripped, all color, fragrance gone. Yet already on the bow or bough, so on the empty branch, uncaring spring. So form and emptiness. The tree is stripped, all color, fragrance gone. Yet already on the bow, on the branch, let's say. Uncaring spring. So Emiji just so experientially described feeling that deep longing for wholeness, the sense of herself as being kind of cut apart, cutting herself up and giving herself away. And then starting to notice, like a bit like how dewdrops gather, starting to notice some kind of feeling of wholeness, and at the same time noticing it's not solid. It's not a solid wholeness. And there's a shakiness. So our hope that wholeness would make us invulnerable and unshaky could stop us from letting the dew gather or regarding how the dew welcomes the color of the leaf into it. It could stop us from just feeling that feeling of wholeness as it is, as a happening, as uncaring spring with no sign of it anywhere.
Uncaring.
Yes. Yes. I take that to be this impersonalness. So yeah, it's so, there's a buoyancy in aliveness. There's a, like, we can work with anything. An exuberance, an unstoppability, and a kind of, feeling the wholeness, there's a feeling of our own preciousness. There's a feeling of being cared for. But also, we could fall through at any time. And that's okay. That would be okay. It wouldn't be a being kicked out of care, kicked out of springtime, or spring in English has more than one meaning. I'm not sure if the translator did that on purpose. Uncaring spring. So in a way we could see it, that the care is so great to kind of somehow suggest itself without any confirmation, without any sign. And so kind also that there doesn't even have to be a sign of care the way we would expect or demand. Like, not, it doesn't give into our demands. So caring that it can ignore our demands. When we're afraid and the demand that you relate to my smallness, primarily. The uncaring spring doesn't care about your smallness, in a way. Doesn't relate to you primarily as your smallness. Doesn't include you primarily because of your smallness, demanding that you be included because you feel so left out. So Gotam describes his freedom, or awakening is the word he used, in a really particular way. So he had lots of, you know, powers already, powers of mind and lots of joy and lots of spaciousness and equanimity, and could easily just sort of see all his past lives and probably see ours as well. Whatever. So what? In a way. The awakening was a particular insight, which is what Emiji just described. So it's coming into experience, experiential happening with the nature of things. So insight in that way, experiencing our participation in the nature of things and going with that. So like Tim said yesterday, understanding of some kinds is not so useful. Sometimes it's better than nothing, or it's really crucial or whatever, but here, the insight is an experiential shift into agreement with the nature of things, which is this sometimes annoying thing that we can never quite get solid or independent. We can't really count on anything that. So the happening together of things, the mutual arising. It's as soon as we come to the English word, it's like instead of experiencing that shakiness that comes from feeling that there is a sense of wholeness, but it's not solid, and there seems to be some kind of edginess, where there's some kind of feeling seated, and there's some kind of edge. Just exactly as Emma described. We could so easily take that, especially because of the shakiness, as that something's missing. Because what we were expecting to find is missing, right? Damon was expecting to find here-ness on the other side of that wall, even though here-ness was right here. And so finding that that experience is enough, the experience that things aren't enough the way we wanted or expected them to be, they're not solid. And also, they are here, things are happening, there is a seat. So the Indian saint Mirabai from Rajasthan, talks about dancing on the edge of the sword, just like our Imogi talked about sitting on the edge and swinging her legs, accepting that it's an edge that's that narrow, and then sitting there and playing playfully, innocently. Mirabai says, the sword cuts the noose. The noose is the rope that would hang. It's that special way of tying a rope that goes around the neck. It cuts the noose of birth and death.
Of birth and
death. So we thought that being beyond birth and death wasn't going to be shaky. We thought it would be solid ground only, or flying only, right? Either completely disappearing or completely being here in some way that no one can get me. So that already here-ness receiving, the Buddha tradition calls it emptiness. We could call it an emergent intelligence, God. There's a scientist who talks about this way that things come together, lean on each other, are just our only happenings. As kissing, kissings, kisses. And so one of my teachers told me love everyone. And there can be the feeling of letting in the spaciousness and the things happening, letting there be love for everything. Another teacher told me, let everything love you. Love you. And I think that gives away a lot of room for all kinds of stuff to be allowed, to be welcome to come up and untie itself. So that the long process and the already here, already free, whatever, already whole. And out of the wholeness, why not? Yes.
Because I feel like my being is not ready for the deepest kind of realization of freedom. And those sort of new places where I can go and hang out, they sort of soften me. You know, kind of energetically make me soft enough for those insights to take root.
Yeah, beautiful. Exactly.
And yeah, I think that's important to just kind of find those places and rest there, stay there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be really interesting to kind of look for insights, like when it's really tuned in to getting insights into freedom. And at other times it's not kind of interesting at all, because you just feel that it's not.
Yeah.
They can't really take root, the grounds need to be deeper.
Yeah. Well, also, to me, that plowing and softening is more the kind of insight that matters. And so that's why the word insight, I think, can be misleading. We think of it as it must be in thought, some understanding. And what you're describing exactly, again, even the specific image of plowing is exactly what I love when y'all do my job for me. And then equally important to say that it sounds really good to for a place to open up and to stay there. But then let's have room and kindness for when we thought staying there was going to be in a certain way. And it isn't. We don't know what staying in that it's new territory, right? And the softening is also a new thing. And so we don't know how it's going to be staying there. Sometimes it can be just quietly, and sometimes it's not quietly. It's very unquietly. And so it's one of the big dangers is that the really good practice of letting something new land open up and softening there, but then if we have a harshness about how it actually unfolds, if we think it's wrong when it unfolds differently from how we expect it. So often that we think it's wrong when it's so wholesome. The way things are unfolding, like if we feel an opening and we feel that it feels good to rest into that and soften and not be, we're not interested in the questions that we were interested in last week. And we're there, it might start out kind of quiet, that softening and staying and resting into. And then it, anything might happen. Yeah.
I can really see and feel. I'm also identifying with this. And also what you described as the emptiness, as the spaciousness, the, for me also this inner peace, ground found, which is always there, all the time here. Is that not also the true self, what Papaji and other people from Tiruvannamalai or Advaita or Atman, is that not also very close to this emptiness as the true self, which is always there?
I really like to be experiential. And so I feel careful about saying it's always there. If that's not, if there's an experience of always, then someone could, we could say that. But it does also seem to be like whenever I allow it or relax, feel it can be safely without thought, then something along those lines seems to come about. But not to get too careless with the phrase, it's always there. And I think it's a kind of love affair that keeps on getting rich. And so I also feel careful about using words like Atman, absolute words, because absolute words easily make us feel like actually a kind of a wall, like an end. And we could say, yeah, that feeling of being really happy to just soften into this and let the earth be plowed. And there's a, or the feeling that Emma described of wholeness that's like this uncaring spring on the empty tree. If we try too hard to pin it down, you know, if we say that must be Atman, we've gone too far, I think. But if we stay with that as it is, we're in love, we're in intimacy, we're in it. And it can ripen. It can keep on ripening, it can keep on getting the way we experience it now can lead to the way we experience it next and the way we experience it next. And it's not also dependent on those experiences. It's not sticking to those. That way of understanding or experiencing. And I think then it can give room for the really subtle, genuine kind of electric pull from the inside to whatever that is, rather than me with my right and wrong should and wanting to get somewhere kind of small person saying, oh, that's the Atman, so I have permission to put some energy towards connecting to that. If I'm going through my ideas, I might be bypassing the actual really subtle electric thread that usually to let ourselves be pulled by that into now or into the wholeness or whatever, into whatever appropriate practice now, whatever part of the love affair. It usually feels like going against the rules. It feels shaky, usually. Because it's exactly not asking for confirmation. And we're so used to getting confirmation first, getting permission first. We're so obedient And this is doesn't pick up the subject of obedience. And it's the gambling thing, the obedience to have safety. So it's it can be helpful to have the words like that we're already free, that it's always here. That can be such a helpful tool so that we can relax into kind of contentment, and then the pull can pull. But it so easily happens that the words can be taken otherwise. Like either I'm already free, so it's not me reacting, it's my reactivity reacting, etc. Or most especially this compulsion towards specialness or confirmation, reassurance that I'm okay. So which means I'm coming from being really unsure if I'm okay, and not being quite honest about that, and trying to plug in some specialness to fill that hole. Atman, etc. It sounds so good, and it is so good, but then our specialness addiction gets attracted and gets involved and gets in the way. So when it helps towards contentment, good. Then the natural thing can happen. I'd just like to end with a couple more lines from Wendell Berry. It's a poem about someone who's lived a long time. And the poem has a couple of weird English words, so maybe I'll read it first, it's short, and then I'll go back through. So this person trusts the changes of the sun and air, dung and carrion made earth, richness that forgets what it was. So dung is shit and carrion is dead body, dead meat, whatever, a dead creature's body. So the person trusts the changes of the sun and air. So it's partly when we fall into tune with that non-solidity, and yet, even without any confirmation, still the uncaring spring comes across, the unpainted breeze feels cool. Within, falling in tune with that edge, we can feel harmony in the change and uncertainty, the potential harmony that can happen. Trusting the changes of the sun and air, dung and carrion made earth. Richness that forgets what it was. And just going with the naturalness of the splinter coming out, the place where the splinter was healing itself, and a response that comes when there's some space. So the programming quiet, which means the allowing of things to happen, accepting what's happening. And also allowing some kind of response, the unprogrammed response. So the richness, it's free from the outlines of the past, traceless. Not only unprogrammed, but unprogrammed also means unconfirmed. And that can feel shaky and also very energetic, lots of energy, and also very erotic, very So Wendell Berry talked about a simple wakefulness filling perfectly the spaces among the leaves. And Ikkyu talks about uncaring spring.
Could you once again explain what you mean by uncaring spring? You said it before, but I don't.
I might save it for tomorrow.
Okay.
Because it might be worth going really more into that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good question. But here in this line from Wendell Berry, uncaring spring would be the way life keeps showing up and creatively moving along, no matter what it used to be. Now it's this. It used to be a body, now it's carrion, now it's earth. It's a richness. Mm-hmm. So that would be a quick kind of mm-hmm. way. And so instead of taking that tracelessness and richness as kind of an insult, so instead of taking the fact that the wound can be healed as disrespect for the wound, we can be in harmony with the nature of things, the uncaring spring, the richness that forgets what it was. So here, richness would be another word for wholeness, another word for emptiness, another word for forgetting about trying to get those insights and softening, plowing. So not trying so hard not assuming something's wrong, maybe kind of having in our pocket that already all it's already here, richness is already here, spring is already here. And that spring doesn't care about our smallness, and its demands is a freedom rather than an insolence or an insult. It's giving us our wings. We don't have to be that carrion of personality. And in the not trying so hard and allowing kind of contentment to kind of come around. One of my teachers confuses or kind of puts together the word contentment and containment. So contentment, kind of like a ring or a nest that we can, it could be a place that we can be safely without thought and lean back into the beginning of the day. In the contentment, letting the subtle pull into softening, into gambling, into letting it be imperfect and already here. May our practice and lives be dedicated to the wholeness that gives wholeness. The richness that forgets what it was. Uncaring spring. That gives us our wings. Momentum towards awakening for all, including ourselves.